Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. And back to the budget now. We've got Democratic Congressman Gerald Nadler of Brooklyn and Manhattan. But first, listen to the Republican Budget Committee Chairman, Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, unhappy that the president's budget released yesterday excluded the big ticket items like Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare that the president's debt commission had proposed historic changes to.
The president, in suggesting the fiscal commission, gave people like me the idea that we were going to move the ball in the right direction, that that was a constructive step in the right direction. This is a punt. This doesn't even include any of the significant recommendations from the fiscal commission.
House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan yesterday. Congressman Gerald Nadler with us now. Hi, Congressman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning.
Can I start right there? Was this not the president's opportunity to make history and embrace the proposals of his own deficit reduction commission if he's serious about the long-term debt?
Well, first of all, there were no proposals by the president's deficit reduction commission. They never adopted them. They were only recommendations by the two chairmen. But second of all, thank God the president didn't do that, because those proposals were terrible, and many of them unnecessary, and would wreck what's left of the New Deal in terms of certainly Social Security and, to a large extent, Medicare. I'm very glad the president didn't adopt them.
Well, he could have picked and chosen from the ones that were put on the table, or recommended something along these lines. Did he, as Congressman Ryan says, punt?
Well, I don't think it's fair to say he punted. Now, first of all, from my point of view, I think the president's budget was too small. Right now, I mean, we have a long-term deficit problem. We do not have a short-term deficit problem. Right now, the problem is that we have very high unemployment, and we should be. Now, the president is saying, let's have money for long-term investment, et cetera. All well and good, and excellent, in fact. But we should be not cutting discretionary spending right now, as the president is proposing, or flattening it for 5-year freeze, as the president is proposing, or even worse, what the Republicans want to do, cut it beyond the bone. We should be giving aid to states and local governments so they don't have to lay off thousands and thousands of people, so they don't have to not hire private contractors to fill the potholes or build the schools or whatever, because that's what's holding up the economic recovery. Is at this point is a shortage of people willing and able to spend money, which includes local governments. So we ought to be, the federal government right now ought to be stepping into that breach, as we did last year to some extent, until the unemployment rates start really coming down, which they're not. Instead, this is going the other direction.
Coincidentally, President Obama is holding a news conference this morning, and a short time ago, he was asked about why he didn't include Medicare, Medicaid, other entitlements. Listen to what he said.
To get where we need to go, we're going to have to do more. We'll have to bring down health care costs further, including in programs like Medicare and Medicaid, which are the single biggest contributor to our long-term deficits. I believe we should strengthen Social Security for future generations, and I think we can do that without slashing benefits or putting current retirees at risk. And I'm willing to work with everybody on Capitol Hill to simplify the individual tax code for all Americans. All of these steps are going to be difficult. That's why all of them will require Democrats, independents, and Republicans to work together.
President Obama just moments ago. Congressman Nadler, do you want to react to any of that?
Well, the only thing that made me nervous was he said we'd have to not increase the retirement age for current or decrease benefits for current workers, I think he said, or current retirees. The fact that Social Security doesn't contribute to the deficit at all, it's a misnomer to say that it does. It's completely self-funded. It has a small long-term problem, which is easily solvable by raising the cap on the Social Security FICA tax. But there's nothing else that has to be done. I'm not sure that has to be done. You shouldn't be talking about Social Security in terms of the budget. Now, Medicare, the problem for the long-term budget is not Medicare. The problem is medical costs, whether in the private sector or Medicare. Now, there are two things you can do. Either you can bring those costs down. You can reduce the increase in medical costs generally. And if we do that and nothing else, we basically solve the budget problem for the long term. If we don't do that, nothing else will help. But that does not mean that we should change Medicare to reduce benefits and shift part of the burden of medical care from Medicare from senior citizens who are on Medicare from the Medicare from the government to them. That's the wrong way to go. The right way to go is to reduce costs generally by, for example, using Medicare's bargaining power to negotiate prescription drug prices. There are a lot of other things we have to do, some of which was in the Affordable Care Act that we put in, to start looking at reducing medical costs generally, not just for the federal government.
Where is your understanding, or when, I should say, is your understanding of when the president will actually come out with proposals like he was starting to allude to in that clip? When your colleague from Staten Island in Brooklyn, Congressman Michael Grimm, Republican, was here last hour, he said, look, the Republicans are going to come out with their proposal for long-term debt reduction, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever their point of view is on it, in March. And at the moment, there's no schedule for the Democrats, and there seems to be this game of you go first, no, you go first,
because
whoever goes first gets a lot of political fallout.
Well, I don't think, and deservedly so, if they make terrible proposals. Now, the Republican proposals, which are basically to make Medicare into a voucher system and to make sure that the vouchers don't increase as fast as medical costs, which means eventually senior citizens will be paying most of the medical costs out of their own pocket, as before Medicare was adopted in the first place, is a terrible proposal. Now, I hope the president doesn't come out with any proposal to shift the costs from the government to senior citizens. Long-term proposals to cut down medical costs generally, to bring them under control, both for Medicare, Medicaid, and the private system, that's what we're looking for. But the Deficit Reduction Commission made no such proposals. They went in entirely the wrong direction. And as I said, Social Security, we shouldn't be even talking about in terms of the deficit.
I have a proposal. Maybe I can enlist you and some Republicans. The President and Speaker Boehner agree to release their big deficit reduction proposals, whatever is in them, on the same day. And that ends the you go first, no, you go first game for political disadvantage. Actual things will be on the table, and then you can critique it, and Grimm can critique the other one, and everybody
can. I think that's exactly wrong, because it's putting the deficit as the highest priority. The highest priority ought to be jobs, getting the unemployment rate down. At the rate we're going now, the unemployment rate at the end of next year is still going to be about 8.5%, and that's simply unacceptable. Too many, that is the official unemployment rate. The real unemployment rate is 16-17% in terms of people who have stopped looking and because they're discouraged. The first priority is to get people back to work and to get the economy moving. That by itself will reduce the deficit more than anything else. We can worry about the deficit afterwards.
But you don't think you need to deal with the short-term jobs issue and the longer-term debt issue at the same time, roughly?
No, I don't. I think you can wait on the deficit a year or two, and it's essential that you not start pulling back on things that are going to hurt the jobs issue. Because every time you reduce spending and you're reducing the amount of money in circulation, any of these proposals, it goes against your goal of reducing unemployment.
So I put a version of that position to Congressman Grimm last hour, said you were coming on this hour, and here's a little of what he said.
And I'll be happy to come on the show and talk about it and debate it with Congressman Nadler, whom I have a great respect for, but I'll tell you right now, has it completely wrong. He wants to spend more money right now. He thinks that we need to spend more money, and that's the answer to our woes. Unfortunately, that's not how anyone runs a home. That's not how anyone runs a business, and it certainly is no way to run a country.
So there's
the
basic.
Federal government is not a private home, and it's not a private business. It's not even a state or a local government which must balance their budgets. The federal government has all kinds of powers that private individuals and companies, for that matter, states don't have. It prints money. It regulates the size of the money supply, among other things. And right now, everything we have learned in the last 75 or 80 years since the Great Depression is that when you have an interest rate that's essentially at zero, so you can't use interest rates to prime the pump to get economic activity up and unemployment down, the only way to do that is by investing in things that will produce jobs and getting more money in circulation. And yes, that means a temporary increase in spending. The long-term budget deficit, the biggest thing you can do for the long-term budget deficit is get unemployment down so taxes go up. I mean, there are three reasons we have a huge deficit now. Remember, a few years ago, we were debating between Gore and Bush what to do with the budget surplus. Why do we have a huge budget deficit now? Three reasons. One, the Bush tax cuts. Two wars, which we didn't fund, and which hopefully will be ended soon. And three, the recession. Anytime you have a recession, it decreases revenues because less income tax, because less income, less sales taxes, et cetera, and increases the necessity for expenditure, for unemployment insurance, food stamps, and so forth. If we get people, more people working, then the deficit, then more income taxes come in, more sales taxes come in, less unemployment insurance goes out, the deficit will go down, will start going down. That'll be a large contributor to it, and then we can deal with the long-term problems, which are basically the cost of medical care.
But this $1.5 trillion estimate for the current fiscal year deficit, a record in U.S. history, I believe, is that not of concern? When you said the short-term deficits are not of concern, that's an eye-popping number.
They are of concern, but the best way to get them down is to get unemployment down. That will be the best thing to do for it, and to get unemployment down, you shouldn't decrease what's called aggregate demand, the amount of money in circulation that people can spend to buy things so that other people are hired to make them, to market them, to sell them, and so forth.
Here's another clip of President Obama just moments ago at his news conference, and he seems to agree with you. And our guest is Congressman Gerald Nadler, Democrat from Brooklyn and Manhattan, seems to agree with you, Congressman, on how to view Social Security.
Now, you talked about Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The truth is Social Security is not the huge contributor to the deficit that the other two entitlements are. I'm confident we can get Social Security done in the same way that Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill were able to get it done, by parties coming together, making some modest adjustments. I think we can avoid slashing benefits, and I think we can make it stable and stronger for not only this generation but for the next generation. Medicare and Medicaid are huge problems because health care costs are rising even as the population is getting older. And so what I've said is that I'm prepared to work with Democrats and Republicans to start dealing with that in a serious way.
And there's the president agreeing with you that Social Security itself is not the major budget issue. It sounds like he thought that he could break out Social Security as kind of a separate area for deal-making.
It ought to be, because Social Security does not contribute a nickel to the deficit. It has nothing to do with the deficit at all.
Not so far. But as people, as more baby boomers get old, it will, right?
No, not at all. Not for at least 25 years. And if then. And in order for, all the projections you hear about Social Security running out of money in 2040 or 2037, only being able to pay 75% of the benefits and having a problem at that time, are based on the assumption that economic growth will be under 2.4% annually between now and then. Economic growth rates has averaged 3.5% since the Civil War, even counting in the Great Depression, and almost 4% in the last 20 years. Those assumptions, I believe, are wrong. But even if they're right, it's a very small, easily fixable problem by just lifting the cap on FICA taxes.
Now, as for what the president did propose in his current and next fiscal year budget yesterday, would you say it disproportionately hurts the New York City area?
I think the Republican plans in the CR that we're going to do is certainly disproportionately hurts the New York area, because
the CR is the continuing resolution to fund the rest of this fiscal year until October.
To fund the rest of this fiscal year, because it murders things like mass transit. That we are very dependent on. It murders Amtrak. It murders low-income housing, home heating assistance, which the Northeast is dependent on, and certainly New York. The president's proposals, I don't think are, from what I've looked at, and I haven't really had a chance to study it yet, but I don't think they are, from what I've seen, I haven't seen any evidence of being terribly unfair.
He hits home heating oil assistance too, doesn't he?
He does, to a lesser extent, and that's something we're going to have to change, I hope.
And do you think there's opportunity for bipartisan unity on this? Because we did talk with Congressman Grimm about how he and Congressman Peter King have written to their Speaker Boehner protesting some of the urban cuts and Northeast cuts, including heating assistance and Amtrak cuts. And
well,
the COPS
there is certainly
program.
A possibility for some of the Republicans to join with us and in opposing some of these draconian cuts and things that are of particular importance to areas like ours, such as the home heating oil and the and Amtrak and mass transit funding. And I hope they will. I doubt the Republican Party in general or the leadership is going to be terribly sympathetic to those to those urgings. I hope I'm wrong.
By the way, how do you understand President Obama, with his Chicago community organizer background, proposing to cut not just home heating assistance to the poor, but also community development block grants?
Well, that's something else that is, I don't know why he would do that. Community development block grants are, I think, by far the most useful general aid to cities that we have. And I would very much oppose any cut in that.
How do we see their impact in New York City?
Well, you see them in a million different ways. You see them in housing. You see them in almost any kind of development that's done, from low-income housing to community health centers. I think get some funds from that. The usefulness is that one of the points of the usefulness is that they are flexible for decisions at the local level.
And let me just get your reaction to the Republican budget that's coming out. You've taken some particular shots at it. Boehner originally proposed, I think, $40 or $58 billion in cuts to the current fiscal year.
I thought it was 32.
Or different people have different numbers. Mm-hmm. But it was something in the mid-double digits. And then others seem to have pushed him to a $100 billion cut in the fiscal year that we're already in, the benchmark being to roll back domestic discretionary spending to 2008 levels. 2008 wasn't that long ago, they will argue. They'll say, does the country really get hurt so bad if we just spend at 2008 levels?
Well, the answer is yes, and I think this goes beyond 2008 levels. They're cutting it all from what's called non-defense discretionary spending. Total non-defense discretionary spending, which is everything you think of other than just imagine Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and veterans benefits, and defense. Everything else is non-defense discretionary spending. Air traffic controllers, education, housing, transportation, the public safety, police, Homeland Security, anything. It's all non-defense discretionary
spending.
And
all of that is only like 12% of the budget, right?
The total of that is about $600 billion. They want to cut $100 billion out of the $600 billion. And they want to cut $100 billion in essentially half a year, which is at the rate of $200 billion. So out of $600 billion, so it's almost a third in amount, and it would be extremely destructive to the country. I mean, it would take $600 million away from the COPS program, which since the mid Clinton years has provided help to having COPS. It would take money away from the FBI. It would gut the Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program so that more kids will grow up and enter school in a condition where, because of malnutrition a few years earlier, they will not be, their brains will not have developed as they would otherwise have, and they'll be slow in school and leading to all those problems. They want to take money out of community development, out of HUD, murders, as I said, transit, high speed, and intercity rail. It's absolutely crazy if you want this country, A, to be healthy, and B, to be competitive in the future.
By the way, Chuck Todd from NBC just asked the president, you are asking for bipartisanship. What was the point of the fiscal commission where you had that in terms of not proposing long-term debt reduction today? And the president's response was, quote, you guys are impatient. This is going to be a process in the way that it should. So a last thought on the current budget battle, Congressman Nadler?
Well, the current budget battle is really is an attempt by the Republicans to roll back everything that we have done in government since FDR, since the New Deal, and to go back to an imagined wonderful world before that. Their constitutional reading is the same, and it's nonsense. In a modern urban society, and especially when you want the government to do things to roll back unemployment, to get the economy running, to make sure that our country is competitive. We can't be competitive with other countries if they have a lot of high-speed rail and we don't. If they have a lot of broadband penetration and we don't, our businesses will be uncompetitive. Right. We won't have the jobs. This is just nuts on their part.
Our next guest standing by is former Jordanian Foreign Minister Marwan Muasher. Do you want to just give us a quick thought on whether you're more enthused and inspired by what's going on in the Middle East right now or more concerned with respect to U.S. interests?
Well, you can't not be inspired when a country rises up and throws out a tyrannical government. Now, it's the beginning of a revolution. If you study revolutions, you don't know what's going to happen. Things could get very good or very bad or anything in between. We don't know. In the Russian Revolution in 1917, they threw out the Tsar. And it might have developed into a reasonable parliamentary country, except you had the Bolshevik Revolution a few months later. We don't know which direction this revolution is going to go. We can try to help the Democrats with a small d there. But eventually this change had to come.
Congressman Gerald Nadler, Democrat from Manhattan and Brooklyn, always appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, that former Jordanian foreign minister. Next, so many developments in the Middle East again today. Stay tuned. Thank you.